Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Shemos. I'll start with a story about Hagon Rav Yosef Ades, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Poras Yosef in Yerushalayim, and he was a big Marbetz Torah, and he taught for over 40 years, and he was known that he was a very significant Talmud Chacham, but nevertheless, he was very, very tzanua, and he would go to the Kosel on what seemed to be a daily basis, and lower himself and collect in order to help Yesomim, orphans, almanos, widows, chasanim, and kalos. So somebody asked him, how could it be? Like, this is below your kavod, that you're going to lower yourself and you're going to collect money at the kosel. It's really not appropriate for somebody of your stature. And he said back, there are avrichim, there are kol scholars who are going with ripped shoes, and I'm going to worry about my kavod, meaning to say that he had to be nosi ba'ol to an extent that he didn't feel that this was really the time to make such a insistence upon his own honor. Another story now, one about Rav Meir Shapira. So part of his fundraising mission for his yeshiva was that he had to go to the United States of America and he had to go and fundraise. He had to attend certain places that he probably wouldn't have attended otherwise, like a shul where there were not particularly erudite, scholarly, constituents, but he tried to make his drusha at like a level that was appropriate. So he told them, very, very generally the story about, Bas Paro that took Moshe out of the water without knowing that she would save the Moshe Anshel Yisrael. And he says the same thing. When a benefactor will give to yeshiva, they need to, understand that it could be that their money is going to support a bachar that's going to become a gadol ador. So he explained it in very, very simple language that very simple people could understand. But after the drasha, it became even clearer that even something this simple was not understood. He heard a little boy ask his father, when he pointed at, the little boy pointed at Meir Shapira and said the following, is this the one who was in the Teva? And the father said, certainly, right? You heard it from the story. He saved himself from the water. The boy asked, he said, yeah, sure. And he said, look, he's standing right in front of us. And the little boy said, if that's true, Abba, a trick like that, you should probably give him a $10 bill at least. So that just kind of shows and highlights the nature of what the Gadol Yisrael had to deal with and explain when they were trying to fundraise during prior generations. Now, next is a story about the Avnei Nezer. When he complained about his weakness when he was young and 13 years old, he knew Baal Peh by memory all of Shas, with Tosis. And now when he got older, he wasn't sure that he could remember all of this. But there's a story that when he was 14, he became engaged to the daughter of the Kutzker. So his father, Rav Zev Nachum, the Av Beis Din of Biala, prepared everything for the chasna that was going to be in Kutsk to the extent that he could. But he was so busy, he forgot to tell his son, his young son, you got to make a little pshetel, you got to take a little pilpul. People are expecting you at the chasen's tish to tell something over. In the middle of the way, when they got together, the father looked at the son, which is the Avnei Nezer, and he said, so have you prepared a pshetl or anything? And the Avnei Nezer responded, no, I actually also forgot this. And the father was a little bit upset. He said, what do we do now? Certainly they're going to ask you, to say something, and they're going to be gedolei hador at the wedding, and everybody's going to want to hear something from you, a deep pupil, should be prepared. We should note, you know, parenthetically, that the minig for most of Klal Yisrael is that the chassan gets interrupted, so they know that even if the chassan is quite erudite, that he may have a few things on his mind and may not have the presence of mind to share everything on his mind. So the Avnei Nezer responded. Obviously, they weren't going that direction. He said, what's the problem? He said, I have a little bit of time before we get to the city. He said, give me a Gemara. And he gave him a Gemara of Nedarim. And he sat there without, you know, just in thought. And after about 15 minutes, he says, Abba, I think I'll be able to figure it out. He said, no problem. I got something. And the father couldn't even hear it before they got to the city. But when they got to the Kabbalas Panim, there were a lot of Gedolim, Lamdanim, Talmidei Chachamim, all these great, including the Chidushei HaRim from Gur. And, they asked for him to say a little pshetel. So the chassan got up and he gave a drasha in front of them, a very deep one, about the sugya of Hafaras Nidre Isha Yidei Baila. And, everybody got up. They were very, very impressed. And the Chidushei HaRim, even so much said, how long did it take him to prepare this? And he said, well, it kind of happened when it happened in a quarter of an hour. And when the Chidushei HaRim heard it, he was just sitting there shocked and he couldn't calm down. If I didn't recognize you as a truthful person, said the Chidushei HaRim, I wouldn't believe you at all. And the Chidushei HaRim says, I was certain that this chassan had spent half a year or longer on that beautiful pshetel. A few divrei Torah. The first one is from the Chafetz Chaim. We say by Moshe Rabbeinu when he encounters the sneh, ki amakom asher toho made alav an mas kodeshu, where you're standing is holy. The Chafetz Chaim says, there's a person that thinks that if Hashem makes it possible, if he gives him stuff, he changes his situation, then they'll be able to learn Torah. But otherwise, their current situation is just too tough. It's too tough. So there's the Pasuk. Says, HaMakom Asher Ato Meid Alav, where you're standing right now, your matzav Admas Kodeshu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Avodas Hashem right where you are, not in a different place, but right where you are. Next, Rav Mordechai Chaim Mitzlanim, he says that a narbocha, so Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's in his basket, is crying like a nar, he says that the crying of a Jewish person is not like the crying of a Gentile. Why? When a Gentile cries, usually it's because they're feeling loss. But the crying of a Jew is always crying out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, with tefillah, with hope, and with trust that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can give a Yeshua immediately. And from the crying of Moshe Rabbeinu, this was a cry of hope. You could realize that this was a Jewish child, a beautiful idea. When we cry, it's not out of loss. An Abarbanel, a really interesting Abarbanel. There's this question, of course, why Moshe Rabbeinu asked Paro for the Jewish people to leave for 3 days as opposed to just get out of there right away. And the Abarbanel suggests, as he says, a person is not going to get a test from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they can't withstand. Therefore, Paro wasn't asked to free all of Klal Yisrael right away. Because he wasn't ready for that. Rather, they said, okay, let's start a little one and give you a 3-day journey. And with all of this, still Paro failed. So that's a little bit more, because it's a famous, It's a very, very hard question, and both the Abarbanel and the Alshich take that approach. Next, let's continue with a very important question, and that question comes up in the Abarbanel, and we're told, "V'haya im lo yaminu gam l'shnei osos ha'elo v'liyosh mil kolecha." Kosh Baruch Hu says, "If they don't listen to Moshe, v'lakachtim imeha yor v'shef achta yabasha v'yomai masher tikach v'ina yor v'yul adam v'yaboshas." I'm going to make the mak of dam. So basically, if you don't listen to these osos, don't worry about it. I'll get you ones that that will be believed. So the question arises: well, if they don't bring the first two, and Kodesh Baruch Hu's going to backfill the emunah mitachon, then how does this work with free will? Meaning, if it's going to be that he's going to give them something which is so certain, then how are they going to be judged for it? How are they going to get free will? And moreover, I mean, we know that they're going to say later, "Yaminu b'Hashem and Moshe avdo," right? So how could it be? The Torah is now basically testifying what had happened. We see the nevuah was enough that they kind of got where they wanted. So the people would believe, and they would believe in it in eternity. So the Abarbanel says his approach. He says, look, the schar, the reward, is not for the fact, that this is irrefutable, signs or anything like that. Yeah, osos and mofsim, they definitely do the trick, but not everybody pays attention to osos and mofsim. Something which is so extraordinary, that's one thing, but the fact that they're willing to turn their ears to the Navi and consider the Nisim and grow from the Nisim and become a nation based on the Nisim, that is what will give sufficient evidence for them to be able to be rewarded and for punishment to come out of that as well. Next one is a question: why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was kvad peh, kvad loshon? Why is it that he had a stutter or had difficulties with speaking? So here the Drash HaSaran takes this on. He says, look, we see that there's a ton of supernatural stuff that happened with Moshe Rabbeinu, right? His nevuah was different. He was an arbocha. He cried at an age, his crying sounded different from the crying of everybody else. But the issue is, we want to make sure here that nobody thought that it was because of Moshe Rabbeinu's rhetoric or anything else, the natural order, Derech HaTeva, that allowed Klal Yisrael to believe him. Rather, the Torah really wanted us to be able to receive reward for listening to Moshe Rabbeinu when he wasn't particularly impressive as far as his rhetoric or anything else like that. Rather, instead, it was this idea that we need to make sure that that indeed he was doing this just from Hashgachas Hashem alone. So that is that approach. Last thing is our kasha for the week. So the kasha goes like this. It says in the parsha, "Bifein cho v'cho v'yar ki ein ish." So this is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu when he hits the Mitzri. He says nobody's going to come from him. There's nobody there. Because of Rashi, Rashi says, "V'yar ki ein ish." They see Asi latzeis mimenu she's goyer. Rashi says there's no gerim that are going to come from him. There's going to be no converts. But it's hard to say that because later in Sefer Vayikra Chav Dalet Yud, we see for the pasuk v'yetzi ben ish Yisraelis v'hu ben ish Mitzri, when it says this individual comes out as the son of the ish Mitzri, ben ish Mitzri says Rashi. It says who a Mitzri shaharago Moshe. This is the one the Mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu had killed. B'soch b'nei Yisrael. Why does it say b'soch b'nei Yisrael? Melamed she'is goyer. He did gerus. He converted. So if that's true, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu sees that nobody's going to convert? If indeed Rashi says that they had a son that had converted. Thank you for learning. Have a wonderful Shabbos.